Over the weekend, the transit system in the Seattle area started an interesting new program, charging bus and subway riders different fares based on their income. The Seattle project is among the first of its kind in the U.S., and transit experts across the country are watching closely. People like Thomas Sanchez, professor of urban affairs and planning at Virginia Tech. He's with us from Washington, D.C. And Professor, San Francisco has been doing something similar for several years. Other places have experimented with it, but this is pretty interesting in Seattle.
This has been discussed a lot, especially in the transportation equity community and the environmental justice community, is how can we make these types of public services more available on a cost basis to lower income people. But a lot of times it comes back to the challenge of how do we qualify them? It's a different situation than, you know, when we're qualifying somebody for a mortgage where there's lots of paperwork and verification. This is a little more difficult.
Well, how do you qualify them for something like this and make it so that somebody can prove that they need to get a reduced fare for the subway or the bus?
Well, the transit system certainly wouldn't want to take on kind of another layer of paperwork and documentation and verification. So I think the reliance on some of these other systems that are in place that, you know, cities, counties, even federal government have used to verify income, kind of piggybacking on one of those seems to me like an efficient way to do it.
And if it can be done in that way, is it effective at helping in any way to deal with the issue of income inequality to offer people a cheaper way to, let's say, get to work and home?
You know, that's a terrific question, because I think that we're seeing efforts and initiatives like this happening because of the hyper inequality, both income and wealth, that we're experiencing in our country. Now it's come to the point where a couple dollar fare for a bus for their first job, second job, third job, or get their child to school starts to become a significant chunk of the household budget. I think that gives us a pretty good indicator of how challenging these times can be.
Well, and as these cities like Seattle get more expensive at the urban core, of course, many people have to live further out, and it's a longer journey for them to get into their office. Professor, you have done some research on the issue of income inequality and public transit. Are the two really that closely linked?
Well, you can't say that there's a direct correlation between them, because there are a whole lot of variables that go along with transportation, mobility, or access. So the challenges are different for these different types of households. And then when you factor in location, being far out or being in an inaccessible place, that factor of time we don't adequately capture when we look at some of the impacts of these systems. You know, for some of these people that are traveling an hour or more each way on low income, that's a huge part of their day and not much of a return, an economic return from their job.
So let's go back to what's happening in Seattle. How would you judge that a success or a failure, the program that's gone into effect this weekend?
I would judge it as a success from the standpoint of they're recognizing what a dire situation many of these workers are in, and that they're realizing that transportation is indeed a right and necessary to participate in society today. And so I think it's a step in the right direction. You know, if anything, just to recognize that impact on these people and these households.
Even if it doesn't get used by a lot of riders, you're saying it's a success just that they've recognized the problem.
I think that they will get riders. You know, you look at the cost of owning and operating a vehicle today, you know, cars in the first place just aren't a good investment. And so when you don't have a lot of money to go around, making a bad investment, you know, and having to use something that's costly on a daily and a monthly basis, these could be a very big part of household income. And some of the research that we've done that have looked at the combination of housing and transportation costs, for some families, just housing and, you know, their cost to get around can be 60 or 70% of their household budget. And that's been one of the things of recent research is, transportation's expensive, but combine that with housing costs because they're associated. And so I think that that's really kind of the way that we need to look at this.
At the same time, the money's got to come from somewhere, doesn't it?
And the money needs to come from somewhere. And so I believe it was Seattle that passed the $15 an hour minimum wage. I mean, that's also another step, in my opinion, in the right direction to try to level the playing field. You know, for, you know, living in these cities is incredibly expensive. And if that's where the jobs are, then you're going to either have to try to live there or try to, you know, commute there. And either way is going to be expensive.
Thomas Sanchez, professor of urban affairs and planning at Virginia Tech. Thank you so much for joining us.
Great. Thank you.